Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. It was May 24th, 2019 that Jennifer Doulos was last seen around 8 o'clock in the morning dropping off her five children at New Canaan Country School. Then around 8:05 in the morning on a neighbor's security camera, she was seen coming home. But that same day, she missed two doctor's appointments. And then that night, it was her nanny and others who called saying to police she was missing. Monday marks the two-year anniversary since Jennifer Doulos went missing. And to talk a little bit about the case, where we're at 2 years later, Bill Bloss, who's with Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter, not related to the case whatsoever, but has been our legal expert every step of the way through this case, is back on the show this morning. Bill, welcome back. Thank you so much. How are you?
Just fine, Melissa. How about you?
I'm doing fine. So let's talk about where we're at this point. The lead suspect in the case, I know a lot of people follow this, was her estranged husband, Fotis Doulos, who has since passed away. So where can we even go to even begin finding justice for Jennifer and her family?
Well, remember, there are still cases pending. Fotis Doulos was arrested. He was charged with murder despite the lack of a body. The medical examiner determined that she was likely dead, and police concluded that it was likely as a result of Mr. Doulos' activities. Now, obviously, when he killed himself, the criminal case against him was dismissed. Mm-hmm. But the case against his girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, is still pending. Mm-hmm. And she's been charged with conspiracy to commit murder and also obstruction of justice and evidence tampering. So there is going to be likely to be a trial, and so there will be a judicial proceeding relating to this.
So I'm curious, Bill, what would be like the worst if Traconis was found guilty of this? She didn't commit it though. So what would be like the worst she could see?
Well, a conspiracy to commit murder charge is still a very, very serious charge, and she could be looking at decades in prison.
Really?
She could be looking at a very substantial sentence. And it's not, I think, the other thing that I think is important to remember is that there's a third person who was charged with conspiracy, and that is an attorney named Kent Mawinney, who recently agreed to plead guilty to the charge, and also is going to cooperate with authorities. And that's not good news for Traconis.
Why is that not good news?
Well, because the only person that he would be have reason to cooperate against, or that the prosecutors would want him to cooperate against, is the only other person that's been charged, and that's Traconis.
Gotcha.
So, also the process was kind of interesting. He met with prosecutors and investigators while he was still being held on bond. After he told them what he knew, the prosecutors agreed not to oppose his being released on bond. So he's out of jail right now. Mm-hmm. But it seems pretty obvious that that's as a direct result of whatever he told prosecutors. And it's not hard to imagine that the only reason that they went along with letting him out of jail was that he said something harmful to Traconis. So this is far from over, Melissa. This is not going away anytime soon.
Bill Bloss is our legal expert here on the show. He's with Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. Again, not connected directly to the Doulos case, but has been our legal expert, kind of just giving us step-by-step what we can kind of expect here from his legal background. Now, Bill, I'm curious. I mean, I understand, you know, everything that you had just kind of said about the two. I'm curious, like, in this sort of a case, you had mentioned there's no body still. I mean, at this point, what are the chances that they find Jennifer Doulos?
Well, it's really hard to speculate about that. Mm-hmm. The police looked very, very hard. If you'll remember that they basically tore apart days of trash at the recycling plant in Hartford and went through tons and tons of garbage to try to find remains. It may be, and there is obviously substantial evidence of a serious injury, both
some physical trauma.
Yeah, the New Britain garage or the New Canaan garage, and also some of the items that were discarded along Albany Avenue in Hartford. I've got to be honest. It's possible they will never find anything more, depending on what happened and whether anybody talks. And obviously, the person, at least the state believes, is in the best position to offer some information about that is Michelle Traconis. And at least right now, she's not saying. I'm sure that call has been made, though. I'm sure the prosecutor has called her lawyer, who's a very good lawyer, by the way, John Schoenhorn, and has said, look, you know, we know that this was, or we believe that this was Fotis's deal and that she was just there or went along. And if you'll tell us what you know, we'll treat you accordingly. But obviously, at least to date, that invitation has not been accepted.
I mean, it's hard to speculate, obviously, and I'm certainly not asking you to be put in this situation, but is there a chance she truly did not know?
Sure, of course. I mean, there's a chance. You know, whenever you ask a lawyer, is it possible, the answer is almost always going to be yes.
Right.
And so, you know, it's and that's going to be the trial will be about. It'll be interesting to see what Mowinney says. It'll be interesting to see what the surveillance video. You know, I understand that there's surveillance video clothing being dumped in storm drains up in Hartford. What does that show her doing? What does that show? What's her proximity to this rather unusual behavior? You know, what's the explanation for dumping bloody clothes in a catch basin on Albany Avenue in Hartford? You know, it's not an innocent explanation doesn't readily come to mind. But you know, we're just going to have to see. Are there texts? Are there emails? Are there voicemails? Is there any other kind of third witness claims that Traconis said something to them? It's just, that's why we have trials, and that's why we just need to wait for the trial.
I've noticed there's really a lack of evidence, testimonies, details. They're kind of just buttoned up, it seems like. Like, it does seem like there's a lot being collected, but not being shared with the public. Is that typical for a case of this stature?
Well, it should be, honestly. You know, good lawyers will tell you they don't try their case in the papers, and that's certainly true for prosecutors. There are ethical rules that say that you're not supposed to leak information or make statements that might run a risk of coloring the jury panel. Mm-hmm. So I think the lack of information, I understand that it's frustrating maybe for people that want to know what's going on, but it's really within the highest principles of the profession. And people are just going to have to be patient and wait for the trial, that it will get, everything will come out at the trial.
Yeah. No, I agree with that completely. I feel like this is how we should model more cases, honestly, because I think no matter who gets picked for the jury, you have no idea really what you are going to see in the trial. And I think the more unbiased opinion, those are the fairest judges or juries, I should say, honestly. So to me, I think this is actually a model case, how it's been handled. And really, even the media has not really gotten any detail. So I would agree with that. I think that it's a good thing. That's the way that more cases should be, honestly. Speaking of other cases, I'm curious, Bill, with your background in working here in Connecticut for so long, have we seen other cases similar to this where a body was possibly disposed of, but the case still closes with answers, if that makes any sense?
Well, you know, the wood chipper case from Newtown back whenever that was in the 80s, I think Richard Crafts was convicted of murdering his wife. And really the only, there was evidence found, there were tissues found, but I think ultimately there was one bone fragment that was found that the medical examiner testified would not be able to be survivable because of the location of the bone, the type of bone. by a person who lost it. So it's not impossible at all to have a murder conviction without a body. If there is evidence of, there has to be obviously evidence of a death, but you can prove that somebody is dead without finding the body.
Got it. Bill Bloss, who's our legal expert here on the show. Last question for you, Bill. What is the potential of this case going cold, especially since Fotis Doulos, who was the lead suspect, charged with murder, not in the picture anymore, even if they do find that Michelle Traconis knew anything about this? What are the chances that this case goes cold?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define goes cold. The case, in terms of there being no prosecution and no trial, I think that's zero. There is going to be a trial in all likelihood. If the question is it possible that there will not be found the body of Jennifer Doulos? That's quite possible. That's quite possible. But that doesn't mean that the case is cold, because there is a prosecution, two prosecutions actually pending. And so there will be answers to the extent that the evidence will provide.
So, but if her body is never found, like even if they close the case, somebody is convicted of something, do police typically continue looking for a body, or do they move on from the case, if that makes sense?
Oh, no. They would. I feel quite confident they would continue to look. They would continue to try to get information. I think it would be pretty typical that anybody who has contacts with the police that knew Fotis or that knew Michelle, they might ask and say, look, did you ever talk about this? It will not go cold in the respect that they will close the file and just forget about it. No, even regardless of what happens in the criminal case.
Bill Bloss, our legal expert here on WICC 600 of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. Always a pleasure to have you on, Bill. Thank you so much for taking all of our questions on this. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thank you. And let's head to Shelton, where Mayor Mark Loretti is standing by. Good morning, Mayor Loretti. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. I saw an announcement, actually, that 1 week from today, Shelton Public Schools, in partnership with Griffin Hospital and Naugatuck Valley Health District, are going to be hosting a Pfizer vaccination clinic for students. Could you talk a little bit about that?
You know, I can't say that I know a lot about it. I kind of left that up to the school system to deal directly with the Griffin Hospital. I will tell you that Griffin has been a pretty good partner throughout this whole pandemic. I think Pat Charmel has done a pretty good job in exhibiting a lot of leadership and getting the vaccinations center in Shelton pretty active and pretty successful, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it looks like some of the details here, it's going to be at the Shelton Intermediate School on Constitution Boulevard North, and that's going to be happening 1 week from today for 12 years and older. So it looks like that's going to be happening in the gymnasium, and you do have to schedule an appointment ahead of time. But it's great to just be able to offer these vaccination clinics, as we saw from the governor. It's the younger demographic that we are trying to get vaccinated. That's kind of where our numbers are lagging. So I think it's great that Shelton making this available.
Yeah, and we did that with our staff and our school bus drivers a month or so back. We handled our own vaccines and along with Griffin, and that worked out great.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Mayor Mark Loretti this morning out of Shelton. Now, Mayor Loretti, I know you're aware of it. A potential shooting crisis was totally averted, thank God, at the Coleman Brothers Carnival this past weekend. Could you maybe just comment on public safety in Shelton, how our city handles these major events and gun safety?
Well, I'm not even sure that was a potential gun shooting. When someone says, I heard shots, I mean, there was no evidence. Police went down. They responded. But look, this is commonplace in America today, unfortunately. And, I think you have to deal with the stuff on a case-by-case basis. This carnival has been here for a number of years. I want to say close to 12 or 13, never without incident. And, we're trying to get back to normal. So, I didn't see any problem with letting the carnival go on this year. People have to figure out for themselves whether they want to participate in these activities and make decisions on their own behalf.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, though, gun safety. I know this past weekend, for example, there were 6 deadly shootings in Connecticut. Of course, Shelton was not included in that, so I want to make that very clear. But not too far away from you, Norwalk, Bridgeport, New Haven, there were deadly shootings there just this past weekend. So do you know if the city's police are discussing gun violence? We're seeing upticks across the state, and how are we keeping Shelton residents safe?
Well, again, this is a moving target. It's very difficult to try to keep everybody safe. This is not a new occurrence with, being in the close proximity to Bridgeport, New Haven, Norwalk. I mean, you look and see what just went on in Hartford this weekend. You got to shake your head and say, hey, what's going on there? It's like the Wild West there.
Mm.
You know, I think there were 4 shootings and 3 deaths. But this is a regular occurrence. And some of that is going to spill over into our little corner of the world. And, you know, this is where people have to take on some responsibility in themselves and pay closer attention to their environment and what they're doing and what they're not doing. This is a problem that's not going away, unfortunately, for a while.
So my question, Mayor Mark Loretti, are there things that you're calling on for police? I know for some cities they're asking for task forces to be created or community outreach or things like that. I don't know. Is there any kind of a shift or change in Shelton?
You know, not really, because when we've had issues in specific neighborhoods, we've always done neighborhood crime watches and feel that that's the best way to approach these situations. When you get you employ the resources of the people who live in a neighborhood to be your eyes and ears and have direct contact with the police department, works as good as anything, I feel. At least it has here for us.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti this morning. Now, earlier this week in the news, Mayor Loretti, I saw that Shelton was back in the news as one of Connecticut's top residential destinations. And, of course, we've seen a lot of different cities and towns in Fairfield and New Haven County find these surges of people, especially coming in from New York, Long Island, moving here permanently. I'm just curious, do you think that we're going to continue to see these surges of people moving into Shelton specifically after the pandemic is over?
Well, look, this has been going on before the pandemic, and that's evidence of what's been approved through zoning over this whole pandemic. You know, we never really shut down. We just found ways to run meetings differently and give out approvals. And so this has been an evolution here in Shelton. You know, it's about our affordability. It's about our quality of life. People are seeking us out and want to be here, particularly businesses. You know, you may recall that we announced that there's a business coming out of the Bronx. He's a manufacturer. He employs 350 people. And so it's that type of thing that has been attracted to this community for any number of years. It just continues, and I think that the pandemic has helped accelerate that.
Do you worry at all, Mayor Loretti, only because you mentioned zoning, do you worry at all if any zoning bills were to pass and it kind of takes you, your zoning commission, sort of out of the equation? It comes down to the state making those kinds of decisions?
I worry about just about everything that comes out of Hartford. It's mind-boggling sometimes. You know, the people in Hartford think that they know what's best in all these individual locations around Connecticut. You know, Connecticut's unique in many respects in that, you know, we have this local government that, by and large, has worked. You know, there's nothing perfect, and people will always try to find fault. But you look at the quality of life here in our state, with the exception of our cities, our big cities, everybody else does pretty well. And so, you know, I just think that with respect to the cities, that we've got to have a stronger leadership, a better police presence. And, you know, this nonsense about defund the police is just crazy. And people are going to see, they're going to see the result of what they're saying, defund the police. Escalating crime, domestic violence, you name it, car break-ins. People talk about car break-ins. This is a national trend.
Mm-hmm.
National trend. It's not specific to any one location or state. It's a national trend.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's because of what the politicians approved by way of legislation, either in Hartford or Washington. You got to have standards, and you got to make everyone adhere to them. You can't be singling people out. You have to be consistent. And that solves a lot of these things. But, you know, we've kind of abandoned that thinking.
Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
You're quite welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Family. relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help.
Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Oh boy, Julius Dudix. So tomorrow we are in for some big changes, and it's very, very exciting, but a lot of people have anxiety. A lot of people have opinions on it. And I just wanted your help a little bit in helping us to have an open mind to the fact that we all are viewing this in very different lights. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Melissa, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's going to be a big day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a day that everybody has been looking forward to. But there are a lot of mixed emotions that are out there. And it's tough for a lot of people because there are those who want to wear masks, those who feel like it's okay, those who get vaccinated, those who don't. What do you do with all this? Well, I think the first principle is number one, really, you're only responsible for you. I mean, you can't change anybody else but how you respond to the individual and mm-hmm. what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, the idea is, Melissa, it's okay to feel frustration. It's okay to feel the anger. It's okay to feel totally at sorts. But it's what you do with those emotions that really matter. Do you destroy other people? Do you take the law into your own hands? Do you go on your own agenda, basically hurting other people, verbally assaulting? It's okay to feel the emotion of frustration with it all, but it's how you respond to that. And then you got to ask, what drives the emotion, and why are you feeling the way you're feeling?
Why does that matter, Julius? Why do you need to figure out what's driving your emotion?
Well, in terms of any relationship, a lot of times the fear within you causes you to react a certain way. And when you're living your life based on fear or even half-truths or untruths, you end up lashing out in a negative way. So to understand yourself and what prompts you and why are you, you know, do you want to control your environment? Are you fearful of the kids, wearing masks indoors, wearing masks outdoors? What really drives your own perception of why you feel the way you feel, which kind of helps you in terms of understanding how I should respond now to my external environment? Mm-hmm. I've got to understand my internal so I can, it'll better help me deal with the external.
We're talking to morning show counselor Julius Dudix this morning, and some big changes on the way tomorrow with the reopenings, a lot of our business capacities and our curfews. Everything is going to, at least from a state level, go away. It's up to the businesses to decide what they want to do. But as far as the state is concerned, if you are fully vaccinated, you no longer have to wear a mask when you go inside anywhere, outside anywhere, except for like schools or public transit, things like that. And I know, Julius, I have to be honest, you know, the whole honor code system. I think the majority of people can follow the honor code. If they are not fully vaccinated, I think people will respect others overall, and they will wear a mask. I really do. I don't want to say I'm naive, but I just think from the feedback I've heard, Connecticut people are educated. They understand COVID enough, and I think they know well enough how to respect one another. But I find it's interesting. It's your personal relationships that people are harder on each other. So friends, colleagues, people that you see very often who don't agree about either wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, being in crowds, not being in crowds, having parties, don't have parties. How do we go without ruining some of our closest relationships over COVID?
Yeah, great. That's a great question because it has ripped apart so many families.
It has.
So many husbands and wives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I always say, you know, try to use I statements. Instead of saying things like, hey, you need to stop eating at that restaurant indoors, try to use a statement like, hey, I really get worried when I hear you're eating indoors at that restaurant without a mask or whatever. But above all, be kind and respectful. You know, bottom line is this is a troubling time for so many, and the finish line is like 100 yards away. And we're all running toward that. But in the process, we have to remember, you know, am I being a kind human being to other people? You know, I can only account for myself.
Mm-hmm.
We have to accept each other's differences and understand that there are going to be people that wear a mask with their nose sticking out, and it makes you crazy. There are going to be people that that take their shirt and put it over their face and call it a mask.
Right.
Those kinds of things. But the bottom line is, are we being a kind human being? Mm-hmm. Are we being respectful? The end is almost there. We can see the finish line, but we don't want to get ruin relationships
over something that is not really worth fighting the battle for.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is we all have a certain amount of emotional energy to invest regarding problems. And we can either invest the emotional energy toward fixing the problem, or we can make the problem worse and channel our energy toward negative behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel better, Melissa, when you're kind and respectful as a human being.
Totally.
Acknowledging the frustration, acknowledging the fact that I'm not going to change other people. I'm going to change how I respond to other people. It's mm-hmm. a huge help.
And having grace. You know, like having grace, like nobody has all the answers correct. Even the doctors say with COVID, it's so tricky because it's an infectious disease, right? So, I mean, no one has all the answers completely correct. And I think it's just also taking a step back sometimes and realizing that, you know, you don't have to agree with people, but there is a level of you should at least respect other people. And if you want to remove yourself from a store or you want to remove yourself from a group or you want to just take time, like that's okay. That's okay to do that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, you're only accountable for you.
Right.
But the idea is you've got to learn how to disagree agreeably with other people. And again, preserve the relationship. And that's a concept we've talked about before. But for kids, making sure the kids are washing their hands, making sure the kids are trying to understand in their language, explain to your three-year-old or your four-year-old or five-year-old, you know, why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to ask questions. Make sure they understand it's okay to ask questions and they're talking about how they feel about the whole issue. But Melissa, we are so close to finishing this. And bottom line is it's always going to be around too.
Right.
You know, it's not going to go away totally.
Right.
But we're close to the end here, and we don't want to ruin relationships over we want to pick and choose battles
mm-hmm.
and preserve the relationship.
Well, and at the end of the day,
be a kind human being.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the end of the day, Julius Dudix, I mean, I think if it's COVID now, it's always going to be something. There's always going to be something that people disagree about. And I think this concept of just being kind but also respectful and not ruining a relationship, I know there are some people who would love to dive more into this. And if they want to contact you directly, Julius, where can they go to find you?
Sure. They can make an appointment at this number, 203-243-7714, or you can read about me on Facebook or LinkedIn.
All right. Simple enough. Julius Dudix, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa, for all you do. Stay safe.
You too. And right now we're checking in with our social media consultant, Krista Carnes. Krista, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much. I love talking to you. So we're in a very celebratory season. I would say we've got a lot of high school, college graduations going on. Weddings are coming back. Lots of celebrations. We've got summer parties, retirement parties. We've got birthday parties. I know we're planning our three-year-old's party later this summer.
Aww.
So a lot of photos happen. You know, we take a lot of pictures at these events. And I think this is a very timely topic for so many people. Let's talk about the importance of either photo storage or just printing your photos and then getting rid of them.
Okay, definitely. So, yes, it's picture time. And I think that's great. And I'm old enough to remember back when you took, you know, pictures on film and hope that something came out, right?
Love the
Polaroids.
You got
24
yes.
shots and
yes.
you hoped it worked.
Yes.
But now we have all this power, you know, in our hands. So the first thing I want to say is when you have important events that you want to capture, sometimes you may not be the best. You may not like to take pictures. So find somebody that does and give them your phone. If you have an event, you know, and it's something, you know, confirmation or this or that, you know, make sure you kind of in your mind or on paper have a little bit of a checklist of the kind of photos you want to get so that you can get them, you know, grandparents and kids and all that. So you check them off and you have them and then you can go and enjoy yourself. So do yourself a favor, get a little prepped. The other thing is if there's a chance you're going to want to print any of these photos, you have to think about the quality of the image that you're taking. So a lot of your phones come preset with low resolution photos so you can store more on your phone. And while they'll look great on your phone, they'll look great on social media. If you ever go to upload them and you want an 8x10, for example, you may not have the amount of pixels or the quality, the size image that you need to
reproduce
it. It looks
like garbage.
it looks like garbage. And there's nothing worse than having your, like, in your mind what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these online services that will print canvas wraps and things, they can do some things with your image, but do yourself a favor, clean out your photos, like just make it a habit, you know, go through and dump hundreds of, you know, I could probably dump 1,000 right now, you know, and we always
me too, me too.
You know, you take 60 of them and you're like, okay, that's really the best one. And then maybe if you have the time and the energy, like even if saving those into a folder of things that you might want to edit later on, then you know you want to come back and fix the color or something like that. But more importantly is getting, you know, the right size. So you change your settings. You can Google YouTube video for your specific phone, or you can, you know, figure it out yourself. But either way, you want to get like the best quality sizes, and you won't be able to hold as many. But with today's phones, that still means hundreds of photos.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, think about the cloud. If, you know, you want things to automatically upload to the cloud or at the end of your day, I like the automatic because I don't ever get back to it. So you can find them again and then download them. And then, you know, when you're emailing it, like to the grandmother or something, if you think she wants to print it, email it versus text it, right? Because you can email the full size image to her. So if she's ever going to want to print it out, it's just something to, and I find this really also helpful at the holidays when you go to make calendars and stuff, photo gifts and things like that. If you already have these photos at the right resolution, it makes it much faster than getting it onto a design and finding out that it didn't work.
And Krista, I'm curious. I mean, you're like our tech guru. I know you don't like that term, but you really are. It's so funny. Even our afternoon host, Paul, will say, hey, could you ask Krista about the Insta? I'm like, I did. I talked to her about it. But, you know, so you would be the person, I think, that would advocate for like these phones. You know, like a lot of the times when they upgrade the phones, the first thing they will say in these advertisements, oh, my gosh, look how amazing the pixels are and blah, blah, blah. But I got to be honest with you, Krista, like we're celebrating our 5th year anniversary coming up in September. And I said to my husband, you know, we're going to be no real shocker. We're going to be in Disney. And I said to him, I was like, we should invest in a camera. Like to me, it's so interesting. But like everything you have just mentioned, you know, you talk about like maybe even hiring a friend, asking a friend, hey, I'll give you $50 if you could come and shoot pictures for my son's 1 year birthday or whatever. And, you know,
right.
When you talk about going old school and how our parents used to print our photos on the walls, we used to get our photos done at school, professionally photographed and things.
Right.
Do you think, you know, if it's quick things for social media, that's one thing. But if you have these important events, especially if you are going to probably turn these into a photo album or some kind of photo that's going on your walls or in your offices, would you invest in a camera versus relying on your phones?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when you invest in it, it's like a DSLR, and like there's a whole range of quality of those cameras. You have to be committed to that hobby, I think. And I've tried photography, and it's a lot like math, so I'm really challenged by it.
No, me too. That's why I'm asking, because well, I feel like I've got a good phone, but I don't know. Yeah, I want good pictures.
There's a lot of resources out there that can help you improve the quality of the photos you take on your phone.
Really? Okay.
Right? Yes, there's definitely ones that will teach you about different, you know, settings and when do I want, how do I really utilize portrait mode on my iPhone? How do I use my Samsung? And the quality potential on your phone is amazing. I mean, Hollywood directors will film movies on an iPhone. Like, it's possible.
True. Yes, I've seen that. Yeah.
But just like anything, if this is something that you want to get better at, you got to take your time and practice. So, you know, before the 3-year-old's birthday party this summer, give yourself a weekend day. It's probably the only day you don't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. you know, and try, you know, look up one or two new tips and then sit out in the yard while he's playing and try to take the pictures.
Mm.
There's a woman that I follow online. I've met her in person. She's lovely. Her name is Jill Krause, JillKrause. If you Google her, you can't help but find her. Her old blog was called Baby Rabies because she had a mom blog anyway. But she loves at home digital photography on her phone, and she has tons of resources. She even created like an ebook that will tell you how to edit your photos, because it's not so much always taking good photos. It's knowing how to edit and add light that's not there and get rid of shadows. And that stuff is never something we can do with a DSLR. Like, you can do it once you have the image, but these things, just these apps, they're like $20 maybe for the whole year. Some of them are even cheaper. It will show you how to brighten up your kid's face when it's in the shadow and when it's otherwise perfect. How to erase people out of the photo.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Somebody's like elbow or something. You just have to be committed. So she has a wonderful ebook. It's very inexpensive. But
what is that called, Krista? What's that called?
Just go to jillkraus.com.
Jill Kraus. Is that with a K?
Yes, KRAUSE.com.
Okay.
I love her. She's super nice. But she has, and she does a lot of mom's content, but she also does photography content. Yeah, it's called Picture Play is her. And she designed it for sort of family photos, so that's really useful. But there's ebooks and freebies, and there's actually a Picture Play Walt Disney World ebook. I didn't realize that until
Perfect.
This minute.
I'll be getting that right after the show. Excellent.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there anyway. And I get nothing from this relationship. You know, I'm just a big fan of hers, and I think she explains things like in a way that I can understand. And then she also has good resources for where to get those prints. And I think we have to I'm trying to embrace more prints. They're not precious. You have those images. She actually just did a recent post where she put up all these really inexpensive clipboards on her wall and just printing 8x10 photos and just swapping them out, right? So she just has a whole bunch of photos and she puts it in rotation. So, FrameBridge is a wonderful online site. You can even send them you could send them objects and they'll, you know, shadow box them, but mostly it's photos, but you can pick different colors, different mats, very affordable, because that's another aspect that it's, you know, you don't want to go to a framing gallery for something necessarily, but this is a nice way to make a good gift. They have good coupons. That's called FrameBridge. Mm-hmm. And you can Google around to find out how to create, because I think those kinds of gifts are, you know, people want experiences now. A lot of people are just realizing how much stuff they actually have. So nobody really wants more stuff.
It's so true. It's so true. And I think too, Krista, it's like you said, I think sometimes we get so stuck in our ways and kind of complacent about the fact that we're like terrified of losing a photo that we didn't even have the day before we took it. So it's interesting how attached we get and how hard it is for us to get rid of them. But I think you've given us a lot of great resources, a lot of great content that people can kind of look around and see. And we so appreciate always getting your help. Where can people go if they want to follow you along on social media or ask you questions?
Yeah, probably Twitter's the best. If you have a question or you want me to, I'll tweet out after this Jill's handle so you can find her that way. It's at Krista Carnes. Think of this as something that the family can do together. Kids can learn all this. They're probably better at it than we are.
Yes. Amen to that. Yep. That's very true.
Fun.
That's awesome. Well, Krista,
right.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Talk soon. Okay. Thanks.
Sounds good.